Jimmy once said, if it was the last thing he'd ever do, he'd get me to come to Hemingway's for a poetry reading. So in a way, I think this was it. So it's going to sound like I made this up on the spot, but I actually was coming here tonight with an announcement that starting in August, we're going to bring the Dog Pound poetry section back to the Pittsburgh Current. And Jimmy loved that spot for himself, but I know he also wanted to show the work of other poets in the city. So we'll be starting to solicit poetry from the city's great poets. You folks here, we'd love to have your contributions. We're still gonna, we're still gonna give Jimmy his due. One more quick thing I want to say is, I thought this was tomorrow night. So when I when I left the house this morning, I put on these shoes, my slides. They're my favorite shoes ever. One time, Jimmy came into my office and he said, "Where are the rest of your shoes?" And I said, "Well, Jimmy, these are comfortable." He said, "Chuck, you ain't got the kind of toes that need to be out in public." So it's also kind of apropos that I'm here tonight wearing my Nike slides for Jimmy as well. This is my favorite poem that Jimmy ever wrote, because I think of all his work, it was one of the most, the Jimmy that I knew, the most autobiographical. It's called Identity Theft and the Vanity of Your Worth. A guy called me with a foreign accent. I think he could have been from India, or maybe from some country in Africa that has tigers and hippopotamuses. And he sounded like he was from a place that I probably couldn't pronounce. A godforsaken place where children play in raw sewage, where the men probably stone women for adultery. "I've stolen your identity," I said. "You want to be me?" "I don't even want to be me." "How'd you get my phone number anyway? It's unlisted." He said, "Nothing is unlisted. Haven't you read Orwell's book, 1984? I said, "But that was over 20 years ago. Nobody reads that book anymore, except maybe some professors that used to be hippies in the 60s and probably swam in Walden's Pond." He said, "You only have $22 in your checking account. Would you like to borrow some money?" I said, "No, you can keep the money. I would only use it to buy tofu, or maybe a Bukowski, or a Twain book." He asked, "You don't care about your identity?" I said, "Not really. I've reached the age when I get up to pee at least 3 times a night, and sometimes I stub my toe, which hurts. But I'm too old to even jump around in pain, so you keep my identity." I hung up the phone and went to the refrigerator. I fished out a piece of yesterday's pizza. I thought of my father, how he'd go to the bakery and buy yesterday's donuts. It was good, except for the powdered milk he'd make, which was not that good. And I don't even want to mention the government cheese. But in a strange, wino way, it was all good. I lost my balance the other day, and I felt like I'd been drinking, so I went to the doctor. I found it was because my inner ear needed to be clean, which had me feeling almost drunk. Anyway, the guy calls back. "I want to give back your identity." "You can keep it," I said, and I hung up the phone. I felt the pain in my body and looked up at the ceiling, because that's where God is usually hiding, when he's not punishing someone or cursing them with some terminal disease. And I said, "God, you only punish my vanities. I should have never danced naked on the bar, because truth be told, it wasn't pretty then, and it sure isn't pretty now." The next day, 5 a.m, the phone rang. "Please take back your identity." I said, "You stole it, you keep it." He cried like a sissy who had his shoes flushed down the toilet. "But there's nothing in your wallet." I said, "I told you that already." He said, "But now everyone thinks I'm you, and I'm getting calls about how a kid was shot." Or how a guy beats his wife. Or a mother that needs money for her teeth. Another called because her daughter is whoring and is on heroin. Or needs this or that. Needs help with a ticket for driving the wrong way on a one-way street. I now go around sweeping cigarette butts off the streets of Pittsburgh. I don't even smoke. I said, "It makes good practice if you can find the Tao in sweeping up the butts. It's almost like Zen in the art of motorcycle maintenance. Actually, more like becoming an archer or studying art of war. I don't want your identity. You've seen stuff that I don't want to see. And your manly hangs way too low. And when I sit on the toilet, it presents a problem. I said, all right, I'll take it back on two conditions. He said, anything, please. Promise me you will not vote straight Republican or Democrat. And when you go to church, you will not stare at women's backsides. Also, one more thing. You must read all the teaching of Buddha at least twice. He said, agreed, thank you. And may the fleas of a camel never alight on your privates. I hung up the phone and it rang again. Dog, you don't know me, but my son is smoking crack and stealing granny's bingo money. Can you help me? I asked, how did you get my number? She said, I found it in the toilet stall at a bus terminal. I said, all right, you got the right guy, but try to hurry. I've got to sweep up some cigarette butts. Go ahead and tell me the sad story anyway. I need a fix. Thank you. Thank you for your opportunity.